Okay, we're beginning Shir HaShirim again with Rashi. And we're going to start with the introduction, and then we'll take it from there. And the introduction really speaks for itself after you struggle through the first paragraph. Then it begins to tell you what it's all about. So the introduction, Rashi's introduction to Shir HaShirim. He says, "Achas diber elikim shtayim zu shomati." Says there's such a concept. Hashem said one word, and there are many, many things that lie in that one word. You know, can hear many things in one word. So he says like this: Mikro echod yoytzei lekama teomim. One posuk can be understood and explained, and I don't want to say interpreted. That too, in many different ways. V'soif dover, he says, even after all, and their medroshim take a posuk and they say it means this and refers to that and hints to this, and there's a some abstract thing there. There are all kinds of things, all that can be based on psukim. That's true. But soif dover ein lecho mikro yoytze midei pshutoi u'mashmoi. After everything is said and done, a posuk cannot be removed completely from the poshuk pshat, from what it seems to indicate. A posuk has a poshuk pshat. Pshat is the first level of Torah information that's hidden and that's revealed and then hidden to us in the different psukim. So there may be infinite information and infinite ways of analyzing and understanding and medroshim, but ein hamikro yoytze midei pshutei. Okay? Umashmo. The afal pi should dibroi hanaviim divreim bedugmo, even though they spoke in misholim sometimes, dugmois, these are examples. It wasn't like the direct point exactly what they're making. Sorech liyashiv hadugmo alofaneho va'al sidreho. He says, even though it's a dugma, it has to fit. I call this the storyline. So even if you give a dugma, that let's say a dugma, so they sometimes they darsh from one posuk and it has no shaykhis to anything else. That's fine. In other words, it doesn't fit the context. It doesn't fit. If you read the last posuk and then this posuk and the drash that they say on this posuk, that makes no sense. That's fine. But that doesn't exclude there also has to be a pshat that flows, even though this is fine and it doesn't flow and it's not supposed to flow. Okay, but there also has to be a flow. There has to be a pshut of the mikra. Kimoisha hamikrois sidurim zachar zeh. That it has to flow in the way that one posuk follows another. Okay, now listen what he says. Viroisi le sefer hazeh kamo midrashi agoda. He saw in sefer Shir HaShirim many midrashi agoda. There are many agodas in Shir HaShirim. Yesh sidurim. I'm just having trouble seeing this. It's so small. Sidurim kol ha-sefer hazeh b'medrash echot. Some say that the whole sefer, and they explain it in one medrash, one storyline, okay? V'yesh mefuzorim b'kamo midrashi agoda mikrois levadam. And then there are many that in the different midrashim, this medrash explains this posuk, this medrash explains this posuk. That's all true, okay? V'einom misyashvim aloshen ha-mikro. And a lot of these midrashim are not misyashiv on it doesn't have the hakdoma. This has the hakdoma after vayikro. Yeah? And they're not misyashiv al the seder and on the mashmud, the loshen hamikro. For amarti belibi. Now Rashi's finally explaining what he's doing. Litvois mashmois hamikro. I decided to grab, to be tefis, the mashmos, that which is mashma from the psukim, liyashev biurom al sidrom, and to explain the biurim of the psukim, the explanations of the psukim, fitting in the order of things, fitting the storyline, fitting this. So Rashi is telling us that the way he's going to explain the Medrash, everything has to fit. We have a right to look at a posuk in context. And when he says a pshat or brings a Medrash on one posuk, we have a right to see it. We have an obligation to see it in the context of the previous and the following psukim, because that's the approach that he took to explain this. V'hamidroshes me'rabiseinu Akbeim Medrash U Medrash Ish Ish Bim Koimei. And he's going to take all of these Medrashim and set them up, each one in its appropriate place, fitting this total, what I call the storyline. Okay, so we're now going to learn Rashi on Shira Shirim with a consistent context that follows Pasuk after Pasuk. There's one story that goes through the whole thing, and all of the different midrashim that he chose to explain the psukim, although there are many more that may not fit the Pashti Dekra, these are going to fit this Seder HaDvarim. For Omer Ani, and here he gives his introduction, actually, to Shira Shirim. Shero Shleime Baruch Kodesh. Shleime HaMelech had Ruach HaKodesh. Shleime HaMelech saw the future. Besides being the Chochem Mikol Odom, he was the Baal Ruach HaKodesh. She'asidin Yisroel Liglois, Goyla Acha Goyla. Klal Yisroel, Shleim HaMelech was built a Beis HaMikdosh. So it was just the beginning. Now there was going to be still a couple hundred years until anything is going to happen, any of this action. But he saw Baruch Kodshoi, there's going to be Golos. Goyla Acha Goyla, not just one, but one after another, many. Churban Acha Churban. There'll be one, there'll be a second Churban, maybe more. I don't know, in terms of Beis HaMikdash, if this is only talking about the Churban of Beis HaMikdash. We have other Churbanos in the history of Klal Yisrael too, so I'm not sure exactly what he's referring to. Ule his oinein begolus ze al kvoidom horishein. And he saw that Klal Yisrael will begin to bemoan in this golus the covet that they had. That's number one. That's the first step that he mentions. And then they will remember the love that Hashem had for us. He chose us from all the nations of the world. He chose us to give us His Torah. And oh, did He give it to us? Give it to us with full authority, with loy b'shamayim hi, with ein mashkich b'baskoil, with mamish total control, a total complete gift that's ours and it's permanently ours, and He can't even change it. Can't even change it. We won't even listen to his psak, and we won't listen to a Novi who comes and tries to change it. So he gave it to us, the school of Mikolo Amim. Ve'loimar, and when we remember Kovet HaRishon and the Chibor Rishon of that original love that he had for us, that he chose us from all the nations, loimar, that's going to lead us to say, I want to go back to my first husband. I want to go back to that romantic relationship. I want to return. I want to rejuvenate the relationship. Ki toiv li oz me'ato. In memory of what took place there, I now recognize that then was much better. I was much better off then. And what was the better off? The chibur rishona. That kovod harishona and chibur rishona. Those are the things that whatever I have now, some people have nothing now, some people have Vura and Gedula now, but whatever it is, Klal Yisrael will say, Tevli Oz Me'ato. V'yizkeru Es Chasodov, and they'll remember his kindness, his chasodim. V'es Molam Asher Molu, and the rebelliousness that they rebelled against him. V'es HaTevas Asher Omar Losis Lohem Ba'achris Hayomim. And they will also then remember the Havtochos that he promised in the Torah and through the Nevi'im, Ba'achras Hayomim, the Gadlus, the Hatova, the Gilui Shechina, the unique matzav of Ayin L'Ro'as U'Lekim Zul Asecho, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us in the future. Okay, that is the Nimshol, right? That's what the story is not talking directly about that. The story is talking about the Chosin and Kala. That'll explain in the next paragraph. But this is, the Nimshol is that this is Klal Yisrael. I just want to, based on the assumption that Rashi said, Eina mikro yoytzi b'dei pshutai, and everything is al Seder HaDvorim, I want to assume that in Rashi too there's a Seder HaDvorim. And the Seder HaDvorim is significant. It isn't just that Rashi grouped together a lot of things. Oh, they're going to be misoinen, and they're going to remember the covet, and they're going to remember the this, and the love, and that, and that, and that, and that. It sounds like it's a progression. So I want to point out something that it seems to say here, and it seems very prophetic in terms of what's the step that's going to start? The lisoinen bagolus hazeh al kvedim harishon. We used to have a matzav. And the truth of the matter is that even Jews, they have no shaykhes to Yiddishkeit, they have that sense of Jewish pride. They have that sense of we're being spat upon. We're being... Well, I don't know what self-hating Jews are. I don't know. That's a superficial thing. That's a surface thing. Whatever it is, but the Jew used to be. We had a land. You know, the whole... I mean, even... It's not necessarily a holy thing, but the whole movement, the Zionist movement, was also, look at the matzav of the Jew. The Jew doesn't have a place to hang his hat. We're going to go back. We're going to get back. We owned the most expensive and the most precious and the most desired real estate in all of creation, which it is to this very day. And we now, look, we're wandering. We don't have a place to rest our feet. And we're treated like dirt. And we change us. They chase us, goyla achar goyla achar goyla, wherever we go, wherever we come. And as soon as we achieve a certain status, they chase us out of there. And this has been going on. This was in England. This was in France. This was in Germany. This was in Spain. This was in Portugal. This was wherever we were. And throughout the Eastern European countries this is the history of us. And we think COVID and Risha, and that's taka the thing. That is the beginning of what motivates Jews. There's a certain Jewish pride that everybody has. Every Jew has that memory, whether it's conscious or subconscious of. We used to be skula mikol ha'amim, and now they look at us as trash. It's there. That's what Shlomo HaMelech saw, that this is what's going to happen. We're going to be misoinate. What? This is talking Klal Yisrael in general. It applies to everybody. That's a good question. That's my assumption, that it applies to everybody. Okay, but we'll see. It applies to Klal Yisrael. This is a general thing. How you want to say, are there specific exceptions? I can't prove that there's no exceptions. Exceptions. It could be. Not true. How many times have we met Jews who never heard about anything? And then when they hear something, they tell you, deja vu, I feel at home. It reminds me of something. I've been here before. There are people that come into a shul, they see them hold up a Sefer Torah. It's eerie. Something like, it brings back something in my past, and there was no past. So I'm not so sure you're right about that, but we don't have to go to every single person, okay? But this is definitely a general klal, okay? He isn't talking about there's going to be one Jew in every generation who's going to feel this way, okay? So that's for sure, okay? What's that going to do? V'lizkor chibor rishen shehoyu skula mikol ha'amim. Then once we think about the COVID that we don't have, first we have to be misuinein on the COVID that we don't have. I'm bemoaning my fate. Look at the way they treat us. Look at the way. I mean, today, did you ever hear such a thing? People in certain countries, they can't walk with a yarmulke in the street. Everybody's wearing caps. They're afraid to walk out. I don't know if they're going to get nose jobs for their Jewish nose. I don't know what they're going to do, but it's a terrible situation. This is it. Look at this. This is the Am Hashem. This is the Am Skula. This is the nation that brought all of civilization to the world. If there's any morality in the world today, which there's very little left of, but whatever it has, all the... Every invention, every Nobel, the Nobel Prize winners, the modern technology, the scientific, the med... What? The who? The billionaire, I mean, they're all over the place. The whole world is beholden to the Jew, and trash. A Jew. The only ugly name they never called a Jew was stupid. They've said every bad thing. I never heard the phrase stupid Jew. You know, that you can't say. Even everybody realizes that. So these are people responsible for so much. And look at our covers. We start to feel that. That brings back memories. Then we start Velizkor. Then, I guess before that, I would suggest that we weren't capable even of remembering the Chibur Rishayna. The Am Skula is too deeply buried. Now, for us, it's also deeply buried because we don't really appreciate the Chibur Rishayna Shehoyu Skula Loi Mikol Ha'amim. What does that mean? That we're the Am Skula, Hashem chose us to the exclusion of all the nations of the world. Yeah, we know it, we say it, we verbalize it, we believe it. If somebody challenges it, we defend it. And it seems that until we recognize until we bemoan the sense of the loss of COVID of Klal Yisrael, then we don't really get to focus on that. But once we feel what a terrible matzav we're in, then the contrast arises, rejuvenates in us, awakens in us, and says, "We were skula mikol ha'amim." And the truth of the matter is, what does it mean, skulin kol ha'amim? So I don't know what Rashi is referring to here, but the Sipurnu says, "Uyisim li skul mikol ha'amim uvezatem skulali liois mamleches kohanim lehovin ulohoyrois leminhu enoishi likra b'shem Hashem." What were we chosen for? We were chosen for privilege, but not for any old privilege, for the privilege of teaching mankind to call b'shem Hashem. What Avram Avinu started, to continue the work of Avram Avinu, Klal Yisrael. Avram Avinu did it as a one-man show. It was a mom and pop operation, you know. Sora Magayeres is Hanoshim, Avraham Magayeres is Hanoshim. And now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an Am in Mitzrayim, and he gave us this precious tafkir of Lohovin Ulohoyrois, Leminho Enoishi Likro B'Shem Hashem. So that's the Chibur Rishonah. What it means, how much love, what love that takes. He gave, he entrusted us, he empowered us, he gifted us, the greatest of all chasodim, he gave us meaning and purpose and tachlis and to be the agents of the fulfillment of the purpose of his creation. Wow, what a love. But we don't really appreciate that unless we first appreciate, look how terrible the matzav is. That's what leads us to refocus on that. Okay, so that's the next step. But then, lemor, those two things together, the bemoaning the bizoyan as opposed to the COVID, and the appreciating of the love that Hashem, the chibur rishoyno, that's what says el chovo shuva el ishi horishin. I want to go back to my first husband, ki tov li oz me'ata, because it's better. It was better for me then than now. Now I want to ask you a question. What's happening over here? Obviously, if the love that if I didn't have deeply buried a sense of love and appreciation for him, I don't know if just the realizing the bizyonus and then and thinking about the past would be enough to awaken it. Why? Because I would say like this, bizyonus? Who do you think made the bizyonus for Klal Yisrael? I'm not an apikoiris. I'm not a koifer. He made the bizyonus. Who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash? Who destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash? Who put Klal Yisrael down? Who made us go Goyla Achar Goyla and everybody? Who made the V'yule Le'moshu V'lishnino that they're going to grit their teeth speaking about us in terrible ways? He not only did he do it, he promised in the Torah that he would do it. He identified, he admitted it up front. He admitted it even before it happened. So, the Teretz is, despite all that, the Jew must still feel that love. He feels inside. He knows what the truth is. It's buried. It's only later that it's going to come out. Mo'alo ma'asher mo'alu. That's even later. But I feel that. And now when I remember Chibur Rishoyno, that says one word to me. It says, Loimar el chovo shuv el ishi horishoyno. I want to go back. Knowing, remembering his love. Now remember, Chibur Rishoyno is, I'm not even remembering and feeling yet the love that he has now. It's the Chibur Rishoyno. He felt such love to us then. That's going to bring me back. That means that I must have that deep love in here now. And just the memory of what that was, that's extremely powerful, because if it was what it is now, okay, so he loves me so much now, so that brings it out more, that I can understand, it's easier to bring it out. But no, this is the love that he had. All I have to do is remember Chibur Rishoyno. That's enough. Despite the fact, Chibur Rishoyno has been marred by Goyla Acha Goyla, by Churban Acha Churban. So I would say that Chibur Rishoyno, you don't love me no more. So what? Don't confuse me with the past. I'm not interested in the past. What's happening today? Today, that's how he loves? That's how he expresses his love? Yeah, but that's besides the point. He took out his anger, al itzim avonim. He destroyed the Beis HaMidrash instead of destroying Klal Yisrael. He put us in Golos instead of destroying us altogether. So, you know, whatever that is. But in the meantime, even though, but I just, the Chibur Rishoyno. There was love. The power of love, knowing someone's love, knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love, is so powerful that even the memory of the original love is enough to say, Eil Chava Shuva. I assume, and I'm quite certain, that can only work if there's a deep love inside as well. Because otherwise, it has to connect with something. But that's what happens. So I say Eiluch Mashiach, but then there's something else. Ki toiv li oz me'ato. Ki toiv li oz me'ata. If people don't realize that it's going to be good for them, even the love is not enough. The love has to be translated into, it's good for me. I talk about this all the time.
That's
right? What?
That's why it's good.
That may be, but it needs to be toiv le'oz me'ato. In other words, I have to see, I want to know what's going to be good for me. Everybody, no matter, what do you mean? Hashem, so school of Mikolamim, he chose us. And I'm reconnecting with that love with the Bayri Oilam. But there has to be another step. Why do I want to go back to him? Tovely Oscars, it's going to be good for me. It's good for me, a person that, in all spiritual encounters and endeavors, the same base element is always active, and that is what's good for me.
Has there any,
what?
Isn't there such a thing as
Lishma?
Yeah.
That's also good for me. That's also good for me.
No.
No, but the point is, I'm not saying the good for me is Shaloi Lishmo. Not because we're going to have money if I go back to him. No, not because I'm going to have... But that's also good for... That's good for, that's because that's also good for me, because I want to serve Hashem out of no benefit. That's also... There's something about... I don't know. That's a fine line. That's a fine line. First of all, that is not... First of all, the Chinuch says that's not by Klal Yisrael. That's only by Yechidei School. He says Tzadikim. If you look in the Chinuch in Parshas Truma, when he talks about the Beis HaMikdosh, and that first thing in the Binyan Beis HaMikdosh, he says there is a Madrega where we only serve Hashem purely because we want to do the Rotzen Hashem. He says that's a Madrega that was Zoicha to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, and some of the, you know, but it's not the Klal. What? What's that?
That's also,
but that's already on a much more sophisticated level. So whatever it is, I just mean to point out, listen, Rabbi say, yeah, that, yeah, listen, Rabbi say, shh, listen, we have to move, it's late. But I just mean to point out one thing. Listen, one second. I just want to point out one thing, that despite the fact that there is a knowledge of how much Hashem loved us, and we assume that that connects now too, but the bottom line in most human existence is what's good for me. At the end of Emes V'Yatziv, what do we say? V'toy V'yofe. What do you mean? It's Yatziv V'nochem V'kayim. It's Emes V'Yatziv V'nochem V'kayim V'yosher V'ne'emon. It's even Ohuv V'choviv V'nechmod. It's toy V'yofe. I guess I have beauty too, but it's toy. It's good. Has to be good. Good. Everybody wants good. That's what we have. And Hashem wants us to have the good. That's also part of the kavona, the bria, because that's chesed. But it has to translate into that, okay? And only then can I really remember his chasodim. Why can't I remember the chasodim before? The Teretz is, Rabbi Yisai, until we reconnect in a comfortable relationship with Hashem, we don't want to remember his chasodim. That comes later. If I'm right in assuming that this is sequenced, you know, step after step. What? Yeah, otherwise, it's not. Rashi didn't write random. Not after a speech like this, I'll say that HaMikro and everything, that order makes the difference in this. It's not. That's my assumption. So, what? Yeah, no, but I'm just saying, but it's clearly that this is what's going to happen. Once I say like this, unless we can feel that powerful relationship with Hashem, then we really don't want to remember his chasodim. Because chasodim are beholden. Beholdenness is a pain. I don't want to owe you. The only person, it's a burden, the only one I can bear to owe is the one that I'm in such a loving relationship. It's as if I don't even owe anybody. It's you and me together. We're like this. It's one bank account. We're one. Ah, okay. I don't. If I have to owe someone, I'll owe you. So v'yizkru chasod orisha. Only when we achieve this, we realize that, oh, it's tevli azmeota. And I remember what it was, and I crave that relationship, and we're rejuvenating that relationship. Now I can allow myself to remember the chasodim. Okay, and now comes Mo'alu Mashem Mo'alu. Now, only now am I ready to remember the rebelliousness. Rebelliousness is very painful. If I cared, I would have said that rebelliousness is more painful after you remember what he did. Now I remember Mo'alu Mashem Mo'alu. I think the pshat is that the love can bring that out too, because when you rebel, we know what's wrong. We know what's right. And I feel guilty about the rebellion. And I can't tolerate it. I don't want to remember it. And it's only when my level of comfort and confidence and connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so complete and intimate, that then I can even allow myself to think about Mo'alu Mashem Mo'alu. Yeah, Lamaisa, we rebelled against him. Because in the comfort of the relationship, it's much easier. Think about that. When you're afraid of someone, it's hard to admit. When you feel very comfortable in the relationship, then it's easier to admit, because maybe there's less consequences, or maybe it's like, it's so a thing of the past. Like when we're in the midst of when the relationship has been ruptured, I don't want to think about that. Once the relationship has been restored, I can now allow myself. I'm not sure exactly what the psychodynamic is, but it seems clearly that that happens. And only what?
Not coming after Yisburus Kasada.
What?
Not coming after Yisburus
Kasada. It is so.
You're saying it's coming after.
Oh, you mean it doesn't have to mean it only has to do with Yisburus Kasada? That's interesting. Wait a second. Maybe it's only once I. So why Marlam? Why? No. Why is that? What?
And
why Yisroel Chasodov that I remember Mo'alu? What is the Chasodov? I would understand the love brings it out. Why is the Chasodov bring it out?
Do you want to say that maybe like you want to say I recognize all the Chasodov that meant for me, and I know none of it was deserved. I mean,
in other words, the Chesed makes me realize. I mean, I buried the rebellion. That's poshut. But when I remember all the chesed that you did, it could be. But it definitely buried, and something brought it out. It needed something to bring it, whether it was the chesed, whether it was the love. You're right. What?
Like when we weren't focusing on Hashem. Once we were misoni, so we're not going to focus on the bad parts first.
Well, if you misoni, if I can, you should say why. No.
But we were cutting it all out, the whole thing. Once we're misoining, then we're not going to focus on
the misoining. So just start with the misoining, as soon as you're misoining. Or I don't know. No, but look, there's a whole shalshelis before.
Yeah, that's because you're not going to focus on
rebel. Once you're misoining, you should realize, oh, we rebel, that's why we have this.
Why can't this be like more of a national psychology? You're explaining it to be like every single person's individual,
whether
they relate to the situation
that they're
in. Maybe it's like this is the
things
that characterize over the
national
mindset.
Okay, so now this is, you're right. Let me just, and the last point here is that, finally, I can only open, once I'm comfortable with everything in the present, then I can start to look for the future. I just want to point out about that, and I'll get back to your point. I would say like this. The Teva Shalachris Hayomim did not interest me before this point. You can't substitute all the nevuos of Achris Hayomim when now I don't have anything. The Chofetz Chaim, when he saw an article, they told him about an article that they were going to, the Zionists wanted to establish a state in Israel like the newly declared independence of Bulgaria. Bulgaria had just declared independence. He started to cry. So he said, after 2,000 years of Golus and such haftochas from the Nevi'im, they're going to settle, they're going to satisfy themselves with a state like Bulgaria? It was like, to the Chofetz Chaim, that was something, you know, because he could appreciate those nevuas because he had that connection. To people who don't have that connection, then it's the pshat is like, oh, right now you're miserable, but like I always quote from my grandmother, in Yenevelt, oi, sitzayna zoi gliklich, in Yenevelt, in the next world, people don't want to focus on the next world until they appreciate the yachas with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. If you just start, and that's been a toast in chinuch, for many years, that people say, oh, listen, this world, yeah, okay. Hayoim la'asoysom u'mocha le'kabel schorom. Schar mitzvah b'hayal moleko. That's not what it means, schar mitzvah b'hayal moleko. It doesn't mean there is no schar. The Torah says, l'man yarichu yomecho, so some learn that that goes later. But this schar, out of this schar. But the pshat is, what the Gemara means is, and the Acharinim of Masbir, that no schar, this world doesn't have the kelim to give you the schar for a mitzvah. No matter what you get in this world, it can't possibly repay you for what you did with the mitzvah. But after, there's no such thing as schar. If you're going to wait, if you're going to put people on a delayed reaction, what? Because Hashem wants to give both. He wants to give both. Sometimes you have to give. Sometimes people need it in order to keep going. Sometimes they didn't earn the ultimate, or they wouldn't appreciate. He has all kinds of chishbonos. I don't know. But there's definitely schar. For those people who need it, there's benefits in this world. Aser to aser, aser b'shvil shetis asher. There's kama v'kama. Kabir esavich olman yarichon yomecho. And all this, because now, for those that maybe don't need that, but the Klal Yisrael as a unit cannot just focus on the future. They have to have the present. And then... No, it's true, but it's almost as if you bring pride of the future into the present. When I get a taste, Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. I can think about Olam Haba when I feel a Me'ein Olam Haba. I had a, it's like you give a taste, you go into a wine tasting thing, right? They give you a little taste, oh, I want to buy this. That's why this guy comes down to these affairs, you know what I mean? Because figure, it gives you a good wine to taste. Oh, I'm going to go to the store next day and I'm going to buy that wine. That's what it is. You get a geschmack. Okay, I just want to address your thing like this, you hear? This is a question that everybody asks. I mean, everybody, but it's a very important question. How do I know that these nevuas are not dafka to Klal Yisrael as a klal, as a unit, but rather, and not to individuals? In other words, how do I know that they're also to an individual, right? Maybe it's just to the klal. This is the matzav of Klal Yisrael. But who says that individuals, Mimela, who says individuals have love, and who says individuals can feel the love, and who says individuals this, and that, all the things that we're going to see. What?
The national feeling.
I mean, how could it be a national without individual? Well, some people, I don't know. That's a good question. But I'll tell you something else. I think you're right in Svara. I don't know how that would be. But I'm not sure that, because I can't figure out, and even you can't figure out how it could be, I'm not sure that that can't be. Maybe there is a way. But the Rambam says that when he talks about the love that we should have of Hashem, if you look at the Rambam Perek Yud of Hilchas Tshuva, he says a person should love Hashem and serve Hashem out of love. That he thinks about her when he eats and when he drinks. Yeser miken tiye aves Hashem belev kol odom, something like that. The kol shira shirim is a moshel inyan ze. So I see the Rambam clearly says that the shira shirim, it's talking about the ability to have love, the mitzvah of having love, the individual having love. The Rambam there is talking to individuals. The Rambam is talking to individuals. The Rambam is not talking to the Klal Yisrael. The Rambam is talking to Hilchas Tshuva. This is do tshuva, serve Hashem out of love. And he says this is what Shir HaShirim is all about. So from that alone, I feel confident that the lessons here are pertinent to the individual.
Maybe the lessons in love.
That's all it is. What? Yeah, but all it boils down to the love. That the whole Shir HaShirim is all about the love. If you force me to say the Hakdama applies to Klal Yisrael and the rest is about individuals, I'm okay. That's all. The Iker is what we're going to learn about the relationship applies to the individual. Okay, we'll have to leave the marshal for next time. And we should try to start 9:30, 9:35, and try to finish a little bit earlier. But this was just the introduction. Very good. Shkoyach.